this morning's study will kind of have a little bit to do with what Russ had been talking about for several weeks. And we're going to be talking about what Jesus had to say about heaven, hell, and the judgment. And I like this because I do as much reading as I can on certain things. But I thought this was very interesting because I think we need to take a little bit of an in-depth look at some of the things that that this had to say. Our preacher, of course, Russ, is not feeling well. I talked to him the other day. And so I certainly hope he continues to improve and gets better. This weather has been, while we can enjoy the weather God sends us, we have to be careful about how we dress. Because we can lose focus, we can get sick quick. Anyway, I'm going to do a little reading, but I'm going to depend on some of you all. I'll call out some scriptures and get you to get them for us. All right. One could hardly imagine a more sobering thought than the fact that one day we will all stand in judgment before the Lord. Unless the Lord returns during our lifetime, we will all die, and after that, face the judgment. Thus, all men must make these two appointments, death is sure, and judgment is certain. There's another saying I thought we used to say. I heard some preachers say, death is too sure, and hell is too hot to be playing with your soul. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of truth to that. And another thing Russ says, and there's a lot of truth to that, we're not going to get out of here alive unless God comes back while we're still living. We're going to die. Because that's part of what God had mentioned in His Word. And I had a problem with it. That's His rule. We got to abide by it. And that's just the way it is. Now, talk a little bit. Let's get down here to the judgment. When will the judgment take place? I find that interesting. We know it will take place when the Lord Jesus returns in His glory. However, Jesus makes it clear that no one knows the time of the coming of the Son of Man. According to Matthew 24, we want to get somebody to get at Matthew 24. And verse number 36. I like to start with 36 and read down to 44. Matthew 24, verse 36, down through verse number 44. Thank you. Thank you. There are a number of things that are very interesting with this, is the fact that the Bible tells us that no one knows when the Lord Jesus is going to send his son back. I want you to understand that this is going to happen. But another thing we need to understand, that there have been men, and I know you heard of it, in the 20th century, the 19th century, and they've been trying to figure out and even mention that the Lord is coming back at a certain time, and then made a lie out of all of them, because he's coming when he gets ready. People have sold their goods and practically everything they own because trying to prepare for when the Lord comes. You don't know when that's going to happen. My wife just read that the Bible says even in Noah's time, they were still getting married. They were still doing whatever they wanted to do. And they could see this ark being built. And Noah preached for years, about 120. He preached to these people all this time, and nobody paid him any mind. The Bible tells us that they sold the same. Look, the animals had a better shot than the people did, because they refused to do what was told to them by Noah. We have to be very careful, because we need to live our lives the way the Lord wants us to live it and obey him, not do what we want to do. All right. We're going to continue on. Oh, thank you. Jesus said to watch and be ready, because we do not know when he will come. That's according to the same verses in 42-44. Who will be the judge? A lot of people don't think that Jesus is going to be in the judges. It's going to be left up to God. But let's look at something here. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goat. This is in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 31, Psalm 31 and 32. Let's see what's on there. Matthew 25, verse number 31, 32.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
I find that interesting. He's going to do separating sheep from the goat. And how important is that? Separation of sheep and the goat. How important is the sheep and goat that the Bible talks about?
The sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and really they follow him.
Mm-hmm.
They his own.
And we need to be more like sheep. because it's very important that we are willing to obey God's Son and obey His commandments that He has given to us. That's so very important. We can't do what we want to do and expect that we're going to please the Lord and do things our way. It's just not going to work. And it's not going to happen. I don't understand my own writing. You know, it's terrible. It's terrible. But anyway, I'm not worried about that. Yes, sir. And he has a well, we as the truth be told, we all were goats, and we had to learn to follow what God's word says in order to please Him. And I like to think everybody here is the sheep, and we're all sheep following the Lord. And if you're living and you are a goat, you can change your lifestyle and come back to the Lord, and you have a chance. That's what I like about the Lord. And you know what? I'll tell this story once in a while. My grandfather, that's my mother's stepfather. From a member of the Lord's Church. He wasn't baptized until he was close to 70 years old over at High Street. And you know what? He was faithful. And he had a stroke, and he had to move away to be with his family up in Alberta. But you know what? He was a good Christian man. I respected him tremendously, and I loved him tremendously. But God had a reason for keeping him here. All of those years, he obeyed the gospel. You know, God gives us time, many times, to do what we need to do. And you know what? Nobody's more long-suffering and patient than he is. I can think about my own life. I can say it was tore up from the floor. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that my mother, God rest her, told me about the Lord's Church. And I visited, and I'm thankful for that. That my mother obeyed the gospel, I'm thankful for. Yes, indeed. I can say I'm a Christian, mostly because of her example. So I'm thankful for that. All right. I think you just talked about who will be judged, And said again, who will be judged? Not only do the aforementioned verses make it clear that Jesus will be the judge. There's no question about that. They also make it clear that all nations will be judged. Not one will escape the judgment. I find that very, very interesting. There are places all over this world and different countries that have to deal with this verse. They may not even know about it. But remember, God judges. We don't. And there are going to be those who going to deal with the way they believe in God their way. But isn't it wonderful to live in a country where we can read books and understand even Hitler tried to burn all the Bible in the books that had anything to do with God? That's very unfortunate. But it's a wonderful thing to have God's word to rely on in this country. All right. And it says every person that had ever lived, who is now living, and who will ever live, will be judged. None will escape the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. That's one verse. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We're not going to escape the judgment. We're not. Thank you for the reading. On what basis will all men be judged? Speaking of his coming, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his work." Matthew 16:27. We have to understand that we have a responsibility as Christians to do what the Lord expects of us. And that is to first obey his commandments. That's what we have a responsibility to do. To obey his commandments. The Lord's parable demonstrate that each person will be judged according to his or her deeds. One has only to consider the parable of the talent. In Matthew 25:14-30. Now, we're not going to read all those, but we're trying to get a highlight of a few verses there. If someone gets it, they can read some of those verses.
Would you say the one for a ring?
Matthew 25, starting with verse number 14, down to verse number 30. We'll see what we can. Thank you. That's good. And the person who made that two talent, he doubled his as well. And the Lord also told him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But the one who had one and he dug it in the earth, the Lord was not pleased with him. So he took that from him and gave it to the one who had the most. You know, we have a responsibility, even as stewards of God's money, to do the right thing. And we can't do what we want to do and expect to please the Lord. That's the reason too. But it's so very important that we do that for the Lord to be pleased with us. Any comment?
And I think it also tells us that the Lord gave us talent. He shared His Son with us. And I think this also alludes to we can't hoard Jesus Christ just for ourselves. We ought to go out and share Him with others.
Yeah.
I think to me this is part of what is being talked about here. A lot of times we as Christians hang on to what we've learned, but we're not as quick to share with someone else. And I think that's a big responsibility.
I agree.
And we need to take it more seriously.
You know, I think a lot of people, and they will comment on this, feel that they don't have enough knowledge to share God's word with someone else. You can share Lord's word if you don't know a great deal about it, unless you know that you obeyed the gospel. Just tell them what you did. Tell them your story.
Yeah.
That's very, very important.
Well,
tell them your story. Yes.
The last talent kind of reminds me of the person that would say, I don't know enough. You know. So I'll just hang on to what I've got, and I'm not willing to share it. But like you say, share your own story. Tell people where you've been and where the Lord brought you from.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you don't have to be an expert in sharing the Bible.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't.
Even if you just invite somebody to read the Bible with you, you know, invite them to church. Show them what it's all about.
One of the great books, of course, in the New Testament is Acts. Those men, the women doing lived that time, that was a very interesting time, because that was when the church got its beginning. It got its start. One of the things that I like the way the Lord has things put, that His people, the Jews, will have the opportunity first to obey the gospel and do what was right. It's interesting that when the Lord came during that time, it was mostly to His people. But He had a lot of people like the Pharisees, for example. That's supposed to have been the ones who had the most knowledge about what God how they would expect them to live their lives. But they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. They were living back in Dixon more than anything else. And, but we can tell our spirit, just go over to the Acts and read some of those things that occurred during that time in that book. It will help you tell the story of how the Christians, and even how the Gentiles had an opportunity to be Christian. And a lot of prejudice back then too. They wanted those men and women who were not Jews. They wanted to force them to be circumcised to men. And Paul had set that straight. But there's a lot of things in this book, particularly in Acts, that can help you. And we have a responsibility. I'm going to go one further. We have a responsibility to read God's word on our own. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead. That's the name of the song, brother. Yeah. Yeah. That's one song that I do enjoy. Every time I leave song, I think I leave that one. It's beautiful, beautiful thing. Yes, sir. That's a good thing. And you're right. Sometimes there are people out there that just want you to listen to them. Mm-hmm. And we need to be ready to give them an answer as to what God expects of us. And that was a good thing on your part, that you are off the or stand and talk about the Lord.
I love it.
And I get sick and tired of having to go on. All I do is, all you see on the news is who got killed, who got shot. You know, I think it's so, it's supposed to be the greatest country in the world, and I have no problem with living here in the United States. What I have a problem with is the devil. those who, and you know, they're gonna, some not gonna like the fact that something trying to be done about these young, you know, and I think it's a shame. It seems just too much of that going on. But you actually were right, sister, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate what you said to our bond. Appreciate that so much. Let's say space is not available to quote them here, but about what sister read here. But we can kind of look at some things. How many verdicts will there be? I thought that was a quick, really interesting question. How many verdicts is it going to be when the Lord comes back? There are going to be folks that's going to be crying. The Bible says there's going to be gnashing of teeth. There's going to be a lot of folks running, asking for the rocks to fall on, as the Bible teaches us. But we have nothing to fear if we have done what the Lord expects of us. You know what my job is and your job is? To not only try to get ourselves there, but get other folks there. I like to have an influence on my wife. She has an influence on me. That we can get to happen together. You know, whatever time the Lord calls us, I want to be ready. But when He calls, I've done all I can do. People are quick to make excuses. But at this time, you know, at my age, I don't have time to make excuses. Because there's too many reasons I can find as to why I need to talk about the Lord.
Well, they need to be aware of the opportunities that the Lord puts in our path. I'm here today because a friend of mine invited me to church. And she never went to church again. I'm searching for her all over. She's a member of the Lord's church. I'm searching for her all over because I would really like to thank her for taking the opportunity that the Lord put in her way and to bring it to the Lord's church. Can't find her, but I know maybe one day I will see her if she remains faithful to the Lord. And it was such a small thing. In many people's eyes. You know, to me it was a huge thing.
Yeah, it
was a huge thing.
It was.
And, you know, we all need to look back and look at the opportunities the Lord gives each and every one of us to come to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe try to do the same thing for someone else. I've lost an opportunity and I was heartbroken over it. It didn't hit me until it was too late. We were in a restaurant eating. And we were praying as we used to do before we ate. And we discussed when we were talking about the Lord. And as we were leaving, one of the waitresses was leaving also, and she said, I need to go to the church where you go. The only comment I had to her was, you're welcome. The Lord put an opportunity in front of me where I could have done so much more than what I did. And I let it go by the wayside. It didn't hit me until later that I could have done more. But that's why I say be more vigilant about the opportunities that the Lord brings before you so you don't have to have regret like I did the first day.
Well, sometimes those things happen. And, you know, I always believe that the Lord will take care of that too.
I believe that, but I also believe I need to be vigilant. of what the Lord puts in my life and what He wants me to do with
it. Yes, yes. Thank you. You know, you deal them with all kinds of folks. Some of them just ain't even, for lack of a better term, they just don't understand when a Christian is doing something. Instead of them, you know, keeping their mind on what they do, that's not good for them. And I'm going to tell you. Well, listen, I have to say this. People have a choice. People have choices in life. And if you choose not to do what you need to do, and you want to hang with the crowd, go ahead. You got a way for you. But just as sure as I'm sitting in the chair, they're going to have to answer the Lord. You just do what you need to do, sister. The Bible teaches us. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And by that sword, he was talking about people that they're not going to want to accept what you say. And it creates a lot of disturbances in many families. Because they don't want you to obey. They want you to believe. I had a guy say years ago when I was working at Brandon Williams, he said, I'm a Baptist. I'm going to be a Baptist, I'm going to remain a Baptist, and I'm going to die a Baptist. I said, man, you're saying something you don't understand. That was a dangerous thing to say. And I'm not knocking denomination, I'm just saying what he's saying. And I'm saying that's a dangerous thing. I'm going to remain a Christian, prayerfully die a Christian, but I can get up with the Lord when He calls me home. That's what I want to do. I feel sorry for people that don't want to do what the Lord wants them to do. And we, all of us in here, have a responsibility to do what the Lord expects. We have a right to be just like Paul and Peter, Philip, all these men who paved the way in God's word. We have that same responsibility there. And there wasn't anybody anymore dedicated to the Lord than Paul. And Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Guess what, Paul? I'm right there with you. That's right. I want to do what the Lord said do. That's what I want to do. I'm afraid to do anything other than that. Because I'm going to die one day. And I want to say it. And I asked the question, what kind of person was Renard Walker? And I can tell him, or y'all can tell him, what kind of person I was. I tried to want to live my life in a way that the Lord will be pleased down here. But I know one day I'm going to rise up. I want to be with the Lord. It can bring tears to your eyes. If you think about it hard enough, how fortunate we are to be in the Lord's church. And we need to take advantage of that every way possible. It's about time, I think. Couple of more minutes. And we're going to continue some of this next week, too. Heaven and hell. The teaching of Jesus about heaven and hell may be put under the same heading. Much of what he said about the one is the exact opposite of what he said about the other. And I know that Brother Russ did an excellent job on heaven when he taught on it. He has some wonderful things to say. And I'm going to tell you now, I'm not homesick, meaning to leave here and go there, but when he calls, I'm going to be ready. But it gives me something to look forward to. You know, we need some of this and read on some of this because it helps me. It reassures me the faith that I have in the Lord that I can have something to look forward to. And I'm not homesick yet, but I can look forward to when I leave here. I shouldn't have any worries because we've lost members here and it's certainly hopeful. But the Lord made a promise that he's going to rise us up. We're going to raise up. We're going to be raised up with him. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm just so thankful. That'd be one day be my mother. And others that have gone on before. I'm looking forward to one day seeing Paul and some of the other, and you know, yeah, we'll be able to recognize these folks. The Bible teaches us that we're gonna be able to. I'll be able to recognize this brother over here. I'll be able to recognize his wife, and you'll be able to recognize me, my wife. But, you know, we worship together. Now we're here. We have something to look forward to. That's something to look forward to. And I know we're out of time. Yeah, we out of time. I want to thank all of you. Now, I'm going to tell you, don't stay at home next week because I got to be in this week. Man, I'd be good for some, but I thank you all for being here this morning.
Thank you.
And I thank you all for your comments.
Thank you.
Those who did. And we're going to continue next week on some of the same things on the same line. I'm going to look at some other things that I want to talk about. But I want to thank you so much. God bless you all.